Hello and welcome to the Informed Traveler Podcast, part of the Informed Traveler Radio Show, which is heard each week on Chorus Radio. It's a travel podcast where our goal is to help you become a more informed traveler. And I'm your host, Randy Sharman. On our podcast this week, we've got a Halloween theme going on as we'll head to Powell River, BC, and talk with the owner of the Old Courthouse Inn, who just held a weekend paranormal investigation last weekend. So we'll find out how that went and hear some spooky stories about the inn. And then later in the show, we'll visit the Nightmares Fear Factory in Niagara Falls, see what kind of a scary experience they create. But first up, for our Halloween theme show, we're going to talk about haunted attractions. More specifically, talking with the Haunted Attractions Association. Their mission is to protect, promote, and educate their worldwide network of haunted attractions, vendors, artists, and enthusiasts. So joining us now to do all of that is Spencer Terry. He is the president of the Haunted Attractions Association. Their website is hauntedattractionsassociation.com. Hi, Spencer.
How are you, sir?
I'm well, thank you. Tell me about the Haunted Attractions Association and what you're all about.
You know, it's a great story of about the last 30 years, really. The Haunted Attraction Association is made up of attractions from all over the world, primarily who focus on Halloween operations, usually during the fall. They can be anything from a small home haunt that someone's decorating in their front yard, all the way up to a multi-state haunted attraction operator. So it kind of depends on where you are in that spectrum, but we've been around for about 30 years. We have members all over the world, and our goal is essentially to look at how we promote our industry, how do we educate people to make sure that they're making good decisions based on where they're going, and of course, making sure that safety is part of that conversation, and how people can have a really great Halloween every single year. They really want to try and make sure that it's both fun, it's entertaining, it's scary, but you're also doing it in a safe environment and that the staff is trained to be able to take care of you as a customer while you're there.
So what sort of criteria do you need to meet to be a member?
I've already mentioned safety. That obviously is our number one priority as an entertainment venue. We want to make sure that not only our cast and our staff members are safe, but also our customers are safe. So safety is a big one. That includes making sure that they are what we call CHAOS certified. CHAOS stands for Certified Haunt Operator and Attraction Safety. And that CHAOS training is designed specifically to teach people how to, you know, what does fire egress look like? What does emergency response look like? How do you build an emergency action plan? How do you work with Homeland Security and with your local law enforcement to make sure that you're creating a safe space? Making sure that if you're going to need to be approved by the fire marshal, what do those steps look like? And so there's a bunch of different things, including, you know, attraction numbers for operators. And that's on the big end of things. On the smaller end of things, actors, makeup artists, those are all things that we're also trying to train more and make sure that there's a consistency across the industry. There's a lot of little checkpoints that are in place. And at the end of the day, we want our members to be able to, we want them to share. We want them to support each other. And that's part of, I think, our industry's growth and benefit is that we really do collaborate and work together across all different markets.
Well, I've never really thought about it, you know, going to a haunted attraction, all the work that goes in behind it, because you just go there, you get scared for a while, and then you just go home and never really think about it, right?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. In fact, even for us here at Fear Factory in Salt Lake City, it's similar. You know, we're spending 10 months of the year preparing and training and getting ready to go, so that those 2 months are a little bit easier. And mm-hmm. It's very similar on the home haunt side, this kind of smaller scale. You've got folks that are building and designing props and kind of thinking about how do I make my yard more scary so that the kids get to have more fun during Halloween? Because a lot of us, I think, nostalgic, that's it. Like we fell in love with Halloween when we were kids, and now here we are doing it professionally.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun to kind of see how that growth has happened and how, as an industry, we're shifting.
What makes a good haunted attraction? And can you go too far to be too scary? Do you know what I mean?
The answer is yes. I think you can go too far. You know, what makes a really great attraction at the end of the day is, you know, I like to use the roller coaster analogy that there's times when you're going to go down a really steep hill on a roller coaster and you literally are telling yourself like, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. Like, this is it. Like, this is really too much for me. And then you bank the curve and you're like, wow, that was a really awesome curve. And then it dips again. And you're like, oh my gosh, hold on. And then it goes up again. And you're like, wow, that was cool. it's very similar. You know, there's a reason why we're in theme parks and in the entertainment industry. It's a very similar roller coaster of it needs to be balanced. You've got great Hollywood level style sets and lighting and design. You've got really great actors who are trained theatrically and also logistically as far as how to flow and keep people moving so that you don't have really long lines inside your show. You want customers to get to see those scares. But it also has to be balanced with fun. And a lot of attractions are moving now to where you don't, you know, let's say that if you and I were friends, we wouldn't just go in together as a group of two. They would pair us up with either another group of two or a group of four, for example, because part of the fun of a haunted house is that you're laughing at other people when they get scared. And so there is this balance between getting scared and having fun. And, you know, and at the end of the day, I mean, the psychologists all agree that a little bit of scary and actually getting our wits scared out of us is quite healthy for us because it allows us to realize what else we can get through in life. But at the end of the day, it just gives us another benchmark to say, wow, I'm really proud of myself. Here's something that I just did that I didn't think I could do. What's next?
For sure.
It's a really interesting industry, and it's a lot of fun. There really is a psychology to how we scare and really a philosophy to the art of scaring.
And I imagine technology has helped a lot over time, right? You're mentioning, you know, the Hollywood sort of style. The makeup is totally different now than it was 30 years ago, and just technology helps.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's been, you know, to look at where this industry has grown in really the last 15 years, it just is mind-blowing. To see where the industry has moved on a vendor level, on an attendance level, I mean, goodness, I remember, you know, back in the day, haunted attractions were called spook alleys, right? And it was an old abandoned house or a barn or something, and you decorate it up, and you have a couple kids that are scaring people, and that's it. And now we're to the I mean, our attraction here is 90,000 square feet through six different buildings and two underground passages. And we have very similar venues all across the globe that are these massive, massive facilities, similar to Disney, Universal, Knott's Berry. In fact, the way we even scare, just a very fundamental baseline of how we scare is really strategic now.
Well, we all like to be scared in a safe and fun way. So Spencer Terry is the president of the Haunted Attractions Association. He's also the general manager of Fear Factory Haunted House in Salt Lake City, Utah. HauntedAttractionsAssociation.com is their website. It was fun chatting with you, Spencer. Happy Halloween.
Indeed. Thanks. You as well. Happy Halloween.
Well, we got a Halloween theme going on this week, and if you're looking for a truly spooky experience, try spending a night or two at the Old Courthouse Inn located in Powell River, BC. They recently held a paranormal weekend there to find evidence of paranormal activity. So joining us now to share the experience and give us some insight on the inn itself is Kelly Belanger. He's the sole proprietor of the Old Courthouse Inn and Eddie Ray's Cafe. The website, oldcourthouseinn.ca. Hi, Kelly.
Hello.
Tell me the story of the Old Courthouse Inn. Just judging by your website, it looks like it has quite a history.
Oh, it does. But first, I'm going to just say one thing. The Old Courthouse Inn acknowledges we are located on the Clahoman Territory, and we respect the histories, language, and cultures of our First Nations, Métis, and Inuit, and the First Peoples of Canada, whose presence continues to enrich our vibrant community.
Excellent.
I bought the Courthouse Inn back in 2012. So it is a hotel, a small one, eight rooms, with the cafe. And so when guests stay here, they also have breakfast in the morning. So it's everything's homemade, locally grown or sourced. Nothing is prepackaged. I don't believe in that. So try to make it the best for the guests when they come.
Well, it does look quite quaint, and it is a boutique heritage hotel mm-hmm. on the Sunshine Coast. I'm just reading off your website, oldcourthouseinn.ca, but it was an actual courthouse at one time, wasn't it?
Yes, it was built in 1939. It cost the provincial government about $40,000, and they used all the best materials of the day. Most of the materials actually came from the mill just across the street from me back then. So, yeah, 1939 was built as a provincial building, so it housed the courthouse, plus the police station. The RCMP were stationed here, too, and the jail cells were down in the basement. So if you wanted to get married, you came here. Birth certificates were issued. Everything was issued here.
Nice. So now, it's Halloween. We're going to talk about a few ghost stories. Paranormal weekend you had. Tell me about that first. What happened there?
Well, the history behind the paranormal weekend was a brain thing we came up with. I've been having paranormal investigators come to investigate the hotel. And they've been having some really good footage, as you've seen if you've seen the video. So we decided, you know what, they're doing it in the U.S., let's do it here. Let's make it an interactive ghost experience, paranormal experience, even for the guests. Let the guests do the hunting.
So that must have been a lot of fun.
Oh, everyone had it. I had enough sittings for 12 people, and I only sold 7, which was actually worked out to be even better. This way, our paranormal investigators could be teamed up with less people, and we got a lot more instruction. And, you know, this is our first time, so we did a lot of learning, and we have 2 more in the works. One is happening April 21st of 2023, and the next one after that, guess what day that is? October 13th. That's the Friday, October 13th, 2023, and that will be our third one we will be doing.
So tell me about, now if people can go on YouTube, the Paranormal Road Trippers Ghosts at the Inn, and you kind of explain on that video about room 1, room 6, and room 9, but you tell us about room 1 first, some of the spooky things that happened that you've kind of witnessed yourself, actually, it sounds like.
Room 1, well, that was an interesting room. I think we have a little jokester in the hotel because he was playing little tricks on us a little bit that evening, but it got a little serious for the first night when the ghost trippers came, because that was the first time we got to investigate that room. And, yeah, it's nothing too scary. It's just they weren't prepared for being delved right into it right off the start. So I think the ghost that's in that room was just jealous and felt left out, so he had to make up some lost time from the other two the investigators here. Room 1 was a pretty active room over the weekend, and I was very happy of how the whole weekend went, because I think everyone ended up having some sort of ghost story or something that happened to them, or they recorded something. So it was really, I think it was a great success.
Well, it'd be awful to hold a sort of paranormal weekend and nothing happens, right? You want something to happen at least. Tell me about room 6. It seems like the doors kind of don't want to stay shut.
Yeah, room 6 is the room they do not like the doors closed. I have no idea why that is, but I've witnessed it so many times. I've been up and down those halls probably 100 times a day, and that door's always open. I sometimes even prop it open or prop it closed just so I can not have to stop and close it all the time. But no, just that one, yeah, footsteps in the room is quite common. People are here. And that door, that bloody door.
And now what happens in room 9 that you've discovered?
Room 9, we got the bedsitter. This one, and also likes to hide the remote or your keys, or sometimes the lady's purse went missing one time. Didn't go far. She did find it eventually. It's right where she left it, but it wasn't when she was looking for it. That happens quite frequently throughout the whole thing. So we have a little jokester that likes to go hide things. But mostly in room 9, sitting on the bed, there's a lot of that.
Now, do you know the stories behind some of the I don't know, I'm going to call them ghosts or people or whatever? Do you kind of get an idea who they are?
I'm assuming quite a few of them have imprinted themselves here in the building because this is where they worked. We have the Rosewater lady. She smells like rosewater. I've smelled her many times up and down the halls. She's actually will say hello to some people, me a few times. Some staff, it's sort of, off-putting at first when they hear her, but they're used to it now. She'll stand right beside you, smell a little rosewater, and then, hello. And it's like, hello, have a good day. but if it gets too bad, if they start bothering the guests too much, I just tell the guests, just tell them to bugger off, and they usually do, just leave you alone. They just want to let you know, I'm here. You're in my space too, you know.
They're very obedient, friendly ghosts, it sounds like.
Yeah, I think I'm fortunate that way. We are sitting right on the the land where the First Nations were, like 1,000 years ago. This was their village where my building's sitting on. So who knows what kind of energies flow through here, but so far everything's been, 10 years now, nothing's ever bad happened. It's all, you know, fun and games and a little trickster now and then. So let's going with it. Like, let's have some fun with this.
Well, yeah, exactly. Everyone can get along, right? The smell? Is it pipe tobacco or something you smell?
Yeah, at the bottom of the stairs, right before you get into the main lobby, there is that smell of the old cherry pipe. And you have someone that stands there. Who knows? He could be just a staff member that worked here all the time, and that's where he had the break. At the bottom of the stairs, have a cigar. Who knows? It could have even been a judge.
Yeah, interesting stuff. Hey, we only have about a minute or so. So anything you want to add? So what does a typical paranormal weekend include if people are interested?
It's two nights. So there's two nights, two breakfasts. We try to have a evening meal on the Saturday, the second night. We did pizza this year. Hey, it was a hit. They ate their pizza fast, and they were so eager to get the equipment out and get going again. The first night is usually just a free-for-all sort of thing. Second night is more structured because now let's follow up on these leads you guys bought, and let's do it right and get it documented so we can put it up on our Facebook page, which we are working on right now just for the alumni of the Paranormal Weekends. So if you want to get access to that Facebook page, you have to attend.
And the dates again for the ones coming up in 2023?
It looks like April 21st, and the next one would be Friday, October the 13th.
And people should book up fast if they were interested, because you only have 8 rooms, so there's not a whole lot of space, right?
So we're looking at 12 to 16 max, and we usually have 4 investigators come, so that means 4 people per investigator, which is great. That works really well. You're not standing on each other's toes doing stuff. So keep it small, keep it simple, and have fun.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun. It's the Old Courthouse Inn. You can find more information on their website, oldcourthouseinn.ca. If you want to watch the video with the paranormal road trippers, you can just Google Ghosts in the Inn on the YouTube. You'll find it there. And Kelly Belanger is the sole proprietor of the Old Courthouse Inn and Eddie Ray's Cafe. It was real fun chatting with you, Kelly. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you, and happy hunting.
With Halloween coming up, thought it might be fun to visit some spooky attractions. And one famous one is located in Niagara Falls, Ontario. It's called the Nightmares Fear Factory. So joining us now to tell us all about it is the vice president of the Nightmares Fear Factory, Anthony LaPenna. Their website is nightmaresfearfactory.com. Hi, Anthony.
Hi, Randy. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. I'm excited to hear about Nightmares Fear Factory. I was looking on your website at some of the videos of people. Nightmaresfearfactory.com, by the way, is the website. So tell me the story. How did it all begin? And apparently there's a legend behind it, too.
Yeah, so it actually started back in 1977. It was in Maple Leaf Village, over in Niagara Falls, like around Clifton Hill. I guess it all used to be kind of more an amusement park type thing. And, so a guy started in 1977. He moved it to our location now in 1994. And then my family actually took it over in 94. So it's been a family business ever since. And, like the old kind of lore behind it is that it was actually like a coffin factory. And, like, I guess there were some hooligans kind of messing around and, I guess the guy ended up dying. It's a pretty gruesome story. It's been a long trip for sure.
We should mention where you are. You're in Niagara Falls, but you're on the Canadian side, correct?
Yeah, we're on the Canadian side. right kind of at the top of Clifton Hill on Victoria Avenue. We're just like a 2-minute walk away.
And are you open your all year round?
Yeah, we're open 365 days a year, man. You know what? Even Christmas Day, if I can get the staff, we'll open up.
Nothing says Merry Christmas more than going to a nightmare fear factory,
exactly.
I'm sure.
And you know what, Randy? It's totally surprising because we're actually like really busy. Well, on Christmas Day,
it would make for a great present, I would think, that someone's into into that kind of stuff. So tell me about the experience now. Do you walk through it? Is there like an amusement ride where you're sitting there? How does it all work, and how long does it take?
The whole thing takes about 10 minutes long. It's a walkthrough. Average time is 10 minutes. Sometimes people get super scared and just freeze, so it winds up taking a lot longer. it's just a regular walkthrough. It's like pitch black the whole way through, and you're following a trail of red lights.
And how big are the groups? Like, how many people do you send through at a time?
So our max group size is 6. We don't have a minimum. Like, we do have people try it out on their own. It doesn't always go well for them. We do recommend bringing friends. We let people do what they want typically, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Typically max group size is 6 people. And the reason being is because we do take pictures as you go through. So we find that if there's more than 6 people, it's really tough to get everyone in it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of the reason why people come here is for the picture. You know what I mean? So, just to kind of save people the trouble, you know, we kind of cap it out at 6.
Well, if you go on your website, nightmaresfearfactory.com, it seems like you take great pride in the images of your guests and some of the videos of your guests.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So we do like our daily fear picks and stuff like that. We usually pick kind of the best of the day. And you know, Randy, pretty much every day we're getting a good photo. You know what I mean? There's always someone who comes here and freaks the hell out. So that's it really is a fun kind of place to work.
Oh, I can imagine.
Yeah, I just like even if you're just a cashier, I mean, you're sitting here all day, you know, watching these pictures come through, and it's just, it really is a different kind of job.
So it doesn't take very long to go through the whole experience, but can you divulge a few secrets without going too deep? Like, what can people expect? What do they see?
So you don't see all too much. We do have some jump scares where the lights will kind of pop on quickly, but we kind of leave a lot to the imagination, and a lot of it's kind of based on phobias as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like fear of the dark, claustrophobia. We do have some stuff to play on that. And frankly, like we do touch a little bit. We're allowed to do a little bit. So that in itself really just sends people through the roof. You know, you're walking through pitch black with your friends, and then a hand that doesn't belong to any of you kind of gets out and gets you. You know what I mean? So
who comes up with the ideas of how to scare people?
You know what? Honestly, man, it's my dad. he came up with every single effect in there, built it all himself from soup to nuts. It's, it really is a family affair.
And you must get tremendous feedback. Oh, and I wanted to ask you, too, about the people that chicken out. How does that work? Because you have a counter on there, and it's over 100,000 people that have chickened out.
Yeah, we're getting people. I've had 4 people today alone. So what happens is if you buy the ticket,
mm-hmm.
You go up and you go through, and we have a safe word. It's nightmares. If you scream that, you chicken out. And we actually give free passes to try again. So... Not to just totally leave people in the wind here. It really does happen often. Some people just don't handle well. Like one of the worst things I see that happens to families is they'll come in, buy the ticket, they'll get up to the door to get in the actual attraction part,
mm-hmm.
and they'll just turn right around. And, unfortunately, Randy, I don't give refunds, right?
Yeah.
So it's,
but you do give them another ticket so they can try again.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. But it's tough for some people to really handle this type of thing. Especially with children as well.
Well, I was going to ask too, like restrictions. Obviously, there's an age restriction. You wouldn't want little children going through this.
Yeah, the minimum age I let in is 6. I still recommend 8 to 10. But, you know, some kids really do better than their parents. So, you know, it's one of those, I'll take your money either way type thing, you know?
And so to chicken out, getting back to that, you say nightmare. So what happens if you're in the middle of it all? Do the lights go on and you get to leave, or how does that happen?
We never turn the lights on. usually there's, like, we spread the groups out to keep them apart.
Yeah.
So if we do have other groups going through, we can't just turn the lights on.
Yeah, yeah.
So usually we'll just walk them out with a flashlight, just, you know, kind of stop scaring them.
I guess so.
And then just lead them out with a flashlight. Yeah, just so it doesn't ruin it for any other groups. And a lot of the times, like, only one person in a group wants to chicken out as well. So their friends want to keep going. And, we don't want to ruin anything. So,
well, it sounds to me it's almost like magic, right? You have a trick that's going on, and it's people's imagination that's really what scares them. Is that
exactly
sort of
how
it works?
A lot of it's kind of illusions, mm-hmm. right? You know what I mean? Kind of based on your own fears.
Like we
do have this one part where it's, I can give this away. It's one part where it's like a walking bridge, and it feels like you're swaying. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for me personally, I'm terrified of heights. So that part really does kind of mess me up a bit. It kind of just totally takes your equilibrium away. So yeah, just kind of fun stuff like that.
Well, and I was going to ask that too. When you try something new, do your staff check it out to see how scary it
can
be?
So usually, like, it's like me and my dad and my brother building it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll try it out on ourselves, and then we'll try it out on the staff. And then we also got to try it out on customers as well, because our staff does not scare easy.
Well, yeah, you know the tricks, right?
You know, exactly, yeah. So sometimes you got to wait till you get the customer feedback to really know if something's working or if we got to just totally scrap it.
Well, it does sound like a fun experience. It is the Nightmares Fear Factory. You can check out their website, nightmaresfearfactory.com in Niagara Falls, Ontario. Anthony LaPena is the VP of Nightmares Fear Factory. Well, here's to a happy Halloween, Anthony.
Yeah, thank you so much, Randy. Thanks for your time.
And that is this week's Informed Traveler podcast. Remember, this is the podcast version of the Informed Traveler radio show, which is heard each week on Chorus Radio. You can find more information on the show at our website, theinformedtraveler.org. So thanks for listening. If you like what you hear, let us know, leave a review, tell a friend, or you can drop me a line. My email is randy@theinformedtraveler.org. You can also like us on Facebook at facebook.com/informedtraveler or follow me on Twitter @informedtraveler.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.